How much do you depend on God? Can words even express it? Everybody depends on God at all times for everything. God created the world. The Bible says in the very opening words of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God created it all. God left the world to man. God left it to us to subdue, the Bible says, and to have dominion over it. He gave us power over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that moves upon the earth. And when David thought about this, he just stood in awe of how that God created this vast universe, and look at what God has given to us. Look at the position that man holds in this universe. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. David said, well, you've put him over everything. You've given him dominion over everything that is on the earth. That's what God has given to you. God created it all, and God left everything to us. God created man in his own image. God gave us the capacity to have feelings. God gave us the capacity to remember and to figure things out. Those are things that are gifts from God. God gives you the social side that makes life worth living in so many different ways. God gave us marriage and gave us the capacity for marital love. God gave us this thing that we call the family, where we have children. And the Bible says that these kinds of feelings, these kinds of enjoyments, are the gift of God. God gives us the capacity to have friends. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. All those feelings, the good feelings that you have because of other people, whether friends or family or other people that you're associated with, and especially in the church, that give us comfort, that give us laughter, that give us encouragement, that cause us to appreciate each other. All those things are the gift of God, and we depend on God for all those blessings. God gives us everything that we need physically. The Bible says He gives to all life and breath and all things. Acts 17:25. He makes His sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Most of the people that enjoy the sunshine of this day are not thankful for it. Most of the people that enjoy the blessings of God in their lives don't even think and don't even stop to consider where they came from. We're here today to remember these things and to admit and confess our absolute dependence upon God Almighty. The Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, James chapter 1 and verse 17. And God surely gives us everything that we need in a spiritual sense. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave that. Jesus gave His life a ransom for many. He gave His life for you. He died for you. Man is an absolute fool if he thinks that he can be independent from God. He's just a fool. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God reminded the Israelite people of how dependent upon Him they were, and how that passage of Scripture needs to be read aloud in our society. How Deuteronomy chapter 8 needs to be posted at almost every turn and every corner in our communities today. God told the Israelite people, remember all the way that the Lord thy God led thee through this vast wilderness. God provided for you water. He provided food. He gave you everything that you needed. God tested you. Sometimes He allowed you to go hungry so that He might test you and prove you to find out whether you're going to keep His commandments or not. And He said, beware when you go into this good land that God is going to give you, because it is a good land. It has all the minerals that you need, the brass and the iron that you can dig out of the mountains. It's a land that flows with all kinds of blessings. It's a land truly of milk and honey. But beware when you get there that you don't forget the Lord your God, lest when you get there and you built your nice houses You got plenty to eat. You got full stomachs. You got plenty of land. You got nice farms. And you've got silver and gold. You got plenty of money. And everything is going well. Beware lest your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of Egypt from that place. Your heart be lifted up and you say, the might of mine hand and my power got me all of this. God said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. God gave you that ability to have these things. God gives you the very breath that you breathe to enable you to do what you do. When somebody says, I'm independently wealthy, or he is independently wealthy, there is no such thing. If you don't believe that, you just try, or you let a man try to do what he does in his life without breathing. If you don't think a man is dependent upon God, let him have some money, make some money, or keep some money without breathing. Let him hold his breath and see how far he gets in this life. The Bible says even the breath that you take is the gift of God. A man says, I'm independent, I'm independently wealthy or independently anything else. He is deluded. He's just fooling himself. History confirms what the Bible teaches. It's usually a dangerous thing for a man to have plenty of food in his stomach, plenty of money in his pockets, and all kinds of time on his hand. Because most people abuse it. Most people cannot handle that. And the whole history of the Bible shows that. That's why it's so important to be thankful to God. When we thank God, we humble ourselves before him. We recognize that everything that we have is from God. We admit and we confess that without God, we wouldn't have anything. We realize and we admit our absolute dependence upon God. That's why thanking God and being thankful in your life is one of the greatest virtues that you can possess. God talked about that many times in the Old Testament. He said to the Israelite people, if you want to know what I want out of you, he said, it's not just the sacrifices that I tell you to bring. You can bring thousands of animals here and you can sacrifice them on the altar. But he said, what I'm looking for you first and foremost is a thankful heart. I'm looking for you to be thankful and to recognize who I am and what I've given to you. On the flip side of that coin, one of the worst things that a man can do is to be unthankful. It's one of the worst things that could possibly be said about anybody is that he is unappreciative, he is an unthankful person. I know that because the Bible lists ingratitude in the list of some of the worst sins that a man can be guilty of. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, boasters, proud, blasphemers. And then he says, unthankful. In the midst of, in that list of all those sins, he says that being unthankful is one of the worst. The Bible pictures man's departure from God in Romans chapter 1. People there are talked about and described who knew that God existed. And when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, and neither were they thankful. When a man ceases to be thankful, he begins to rot in his soul. His whole being begins to rot. And it only becomes worse and worse and worse. This is serious. When a man is unthankful about the physical things that he needs in life, but it's even more sickening and more serious when a man thinks that he can get by and thinks that he can get along spiritually without God. The Bible says when that one man, the Pharisee, went to the temple to pray and he said, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not like other men, unjust, extortioners, adulterers, or even as this publican standing over here. I fast twice in the week and I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican wouldn't even look up, and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This man, Jesus said, went down to his house justified rather than another. Why? Because whoever exalts himself shall be abased, but he that humbles himself shall be exalted. A self-righteous man is disgusting because he acts like he thinks that he can actually get by without depending upon God. It's impossible. We call this a feeling of independence. Has anybody ever said of you, he's an independent fellow? He's just got an independent streak. Or have you thought about yourself at one time or another? Well, I guess it could truly be said, I guess I am a little bit on the independent side. A feeling of independence can be something that is useful in life. Sometimes it is something that is seen as a good thing. For instance, the Declaration of Independence. I went back and just read that the other day because I've been interested in this. And by the way, the reason that I thought about this sermon today is because I've entitled this sermon, The Sinner's Declaration of Independence. That's what we're talking about. But I want to read the real Declaration of Independence, not all of it, of course, but just a few lines from the real Declaration of Independence issued July the 4th, 1776, by the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. The real Declaration of Independence starts out talking about the laws of nature and nature's God. Uh-oh. It seems that we've got a lawsuit on our hands here from the ACLU. Because the first thing, the first sentence of the Declaration of Independence starts talking about God. The laws of nature and nature's God. Then it goes on to say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. The Declaration of Independence goes on to talk to and to talk about the supreme judge of the world, that's God. And the last sentence in the Declaration of Independence states that these signers pledged a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. We have a firm reliance. We rely on divine providence. You see, the Declaration of Independence is also a declaration of absolute dependence on God. But there's another kind of Declaration of Independence. And that's when man declares his independence from God. I want to read to you what I have come up with and what I call the sinner's declaration of independence. And whether a man says these words or thinks these words in his heart, the result is the same. The sinner's declaration of independence is, we hold these lies to be self-evident, that all men have evolved to be self-sufficient, that they are enabled by their own wisdom to demand certain rights, that among these are wealth, irresponsibility, and government entitlements, that to secure these rights, churches are instituted among men, deriving their message from the will of the churchgoers, that whenever any church becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of members to alter or to abolish it and start a new church, laying its foundation on such pettiness and organizing its power in such selfishness as to them shall seem most likely to affect their lust for entertainment. We therefore, the prideful sinners and apostates of the United States of America, defiantly proclaim and insist that we have the right to do as we very well please, and that not even the throne of God can tell us what to do. For support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of our insurance and investments, we pledge to no one but ourselves our loyalty, our respect, and our time. Signed, a godless man witnessed and signed by those traveling the broad path to eternal destruction. Many times in the Bible, we see this kind of independent pride. We see it out of some church members in Revelation 3 and verse 17, who said, and I quote from Jesus, "We are rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing." We don't need anything. We don't need anybody's help. We don't need anything from anybody. We have need of nothing. And that summarizes the attitude that many people have today. Sadly, those were church members. That's why they were so lukewarm. That's why they were so disinterested in the gospel of Christ. They couldn't get excited about the gospel. They couldn't get excited about spiritual things. Why? Because of the attitude, we don't need anything. Hey, we're independent. That is a declaration of independence. That is the sinner's declaration of independence in Revelation 3 and verse 17. And Jesus said, you're blind. You're totally blind. You don't even realize that you're wretched and poor and miserable and blind and naked. You need everything. You depend on God for everything. And you think that you don't need anything from anybody? You see another declaration of independence in the young man in Luke chapter 15. He went to his father and he said, you give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. In other words, I want my inheritance right now. And when he got that inheritance, he took it out and he blew it. And boy, did he feel in control then. And did he feel independent then? When he was away from his family. When he was away from his father. When he was away from that house. And he could do whatever he wanted to do. Boy, I finally got my independence now. Yes, you've got it. And with it comes a price. The grass might be greener on the other side of the fence, but you still got to mow it. And when he started mowing it, so to speak, that's when it really hit home. The Bible says when he got so hungry that he wanted to eat the hog's food, he remembered how it was back at his father's house. The man that wanted to be independent now realizes how dependent he is. And he said, I'm going back. That represents and that pictures a man going astray from God. That describes a man's journey away from God when man feels like that he's independent from God. Nobody's going to tell him what to do. Nobody is going to get him in a position where he relies on anybody else. And then he realized how much he did rely on God himself. Pharaoh declared his independence from God. Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and they said, let my people go. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go. And Pharaoh issued his declaration of independence. Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I don't know the Lord. I'm not going to do that. Who is he to tell me what to do? Later in that book, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 10, verse 3, that God said, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? How long are you going to remain independent? Pharaoh thought that he didn't need God. In fact, he thought he was above God. And he declared his independence like foolish sinners do. Nebuchadnezzar was a great and a powerful king. He declared his independence from God. He is the one that is called Lucifer in the Bible. That word appears only one time in the King James Version, Isaiah 14. And it's talking about the king of Babylon. The word Lucifer means a day star or a morning star. And the Bible says that the king of Babylon said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, thought that he didn't need anybody or anything. And after Daniel had warned him about his attitude, 1 year later, he still felt that he was independent. And he went out in his palace one day, and the Bible says that he looked at everything that he had, and he said, is not this great kingdom of Babylon? Is this not here because of my power and for my majesty? He declared his independence. And the Bible says, when that happened, the voice from heaven came saying that you are driven out from men. And he went out into the fields on his hands and knees and he ate grass like an animal. This man that was totally independent from God is now useless to the whole human race. Nobody wants anything to do with him. In the book of Obadiah, chapter 3, or verse 3, the Bible talks about the people of Edom. And it says those people of Edom were in a strategic location in their nation. And they were dwelling on the top of the cliffs of the rock. And it was very difficult for their enemies to get to them. There was a narrow ravine that was the only way to get to them. And it was so narrow that any army, no matter how many thousands of troops that they had, could only enter in this narrow ravine. Well, that made them easy targets for these Edomites. And the Edomites said this, and God says it in the book of Obadiah, verse 3. Who shall bring me down to the ground? I'm independent. Nobody can touch me. Nobody can do anything to me. How common it is for a man to think that he doesn't need God and that he's just independent. Abraham Lincoln issued what's called his Thanksgiving Proclamation over 100 years ago. And in that Thanksgiving Proclamation, he said, "We have forgotten God, and we have neglected and have been too proud to pray to the God that made us. We become," he says, "a little bit too independent." In 1973, well over 100 years later, almost 300 atheists and agnostics signed what is called the Humanist Manifesto II. These signers included philosophers, scientists, educators, Unitarian ministers or preachers, you heard it right, and a Jewish rabbi. They said that traditional theism, especially faith in the prayer-hearing God, is unproved and is outmoded. Salvation based on mere affirmation is harmful and diverts people with false hopes of heaven. Reasonable minds must look to other means for survival. Traditional faith encourages dependence rather than independence. We can discover no divine purpose or providence for the human species. While there is much that we do not know, humans are responsible for what we are or will become. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. Declaration of Independence from Prideful Sinners in 1973. What about people today who feel somehow that they are independent from God? "I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. I can make it on my own, and I'll do all right by myself." Well, it's sad when a man does that in the physical realm and he thinks that he doesn't need anything in the physical world from God. "I don't need a thing in the world from anybody, even God." But I tell you what, folks, it's even sadder when a man thinks that about his soul. It's sad when a man thinks that he can go to heaven without doing what God has told him to do. That he does not depend on God, he does not depend on Christ, he does not depend on the church, and he does not depend on the Bible for going to heaven. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about a man who says something like this: "Well, I don't need to be baptized. Why, preacher, I've quit all the things that I used to do. Now, I used to get out here and live a bad and a wild life, but I've quit that. I don't see why I need to be baptized, though." I'm talking about people who say something like this: "Well, I don't need to go to church. Well, I pray sometimes, and I've got my own religion. I don't have to go to church. I don't see why I have to do that." I'm talking about people who say something like this: "Well, I don't have to read my Bible. I don't need to do that. I don't have to. I don't rely on that. I don't depend on reading my Bible. I just follow my conscience." I'm talking about people who say, "Well, I don't have to be a Christian to go to heaven. I live a good life, and I believe if I live a good life and pretty much do good for other people, that I'm going to go to heaven." A recent Barna survey found that 54% of the people talked to and asked that question in this country, 54% said that they believe they can go to heaven without the blood of Christ, without the Bible, without being a Christian, simply based on the good works they do. Can't happen. Cannot happen. Another survey like that said that one out of five claiming to be born again Christians, one out of five said they thought they could go on to heaven and that they thought they are assured of a home in heaven without even the blood of Christ, just based on the good things that they do in their life. The Bible says all of our righteousness is like filthy rags. Isaiah 64 and verse 6. Take all the good things that you do, that cannot earn you a spot in heaven. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. The Bible says there's a penalty attached to sin, and it takes the blood of Jesus Christ to pay that price. Jesus plainly said these words: "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." It has to be done. How can a man think that he's independent of God? Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father but by me." You do rely on him. You do need him. You have to obey him. And for a man to say, well, I don't really need to study my Bible. I don't see any need in getting all that upset about that and getting all excited about having to learn the Bible and having to know things out of the Scriptures and reading my Bible all the time. I think if you just live a pretty much decent lifestyle and follow your conscience and do what you think is right, well, that's all that you need to do. Listen, folks, the Bible says that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps. Now, people think, it's in me. I've got it in me to direct my steps. God says, you're a liar. You can't do that. It is not in us. It's not in you. It's not in me. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. That means you are totally dependent upon God for telling you how to go to heaven. Totally dependent. You don't have enough goodness in you. You and I don't have enough wisdom in us to sit down and to figure out on our own, without the Bible, without God, how to get to heaven. We can't do it. We are totally dependent upon Him. How about you this morning? Do you realize how dependent upon God that you are? In a physical sense, do you realize that you're even more dependent upon God than little babies are dependent on their parents? You know, a little baby can breathe on its own. You don't even breathe, though, without God. God gives to all life and breath and all things. Are you thankful for the things that God gives to you? And as a child of God, do you realize that you wouldn't have salvation, you wouldn't have the hope of heaven, if it were not for the blood of Christ? It's absolutely necessary. If you're not a Christian today, I hope that you don't sign the Declaration of Independence called the Sinner's Declaration of Independence. But in effect, in a sense, you already have. Because if you're lost in sin, if you're not a Christian, you have pretty much said, I will do what I want to do, regardless of what you, God, tell me. Take your name off of it. Recant it. Erase those words from your mind. Come and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ this very day. We're so dependent upon God. You need Him every hour. Is it any wonder that we have to have hardship in our lives and pain in our lives to take us to our knees? So that we'll read our Bible and pray to God and think about eternity and think about death and spiritual things. Is it any wonder that we have to have such pain in our lives to get us to that point? Shouldn't be. Because sometimes we got our minds in the wrong kind of place. And sometimes we become a little bit too independent in this life. If you need to respond this morning to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or as a child of God, to make things right with Him, we owe everything to Him. Everything that we have comes from Him. Let's honor Him with our lives.